We have quorum. Can you please take your seats? Yeah, enjoy. Will any alternates come forward to be seated, please? Let me start out by mentioning I made a mistake last week. The big shindig party is a week from today. Not that this isn't a big shindig here, but a week from today, the Senate meeting for the new Senate will start at 3:35, but refreshments will be available at 3:05, and we welcome all veteran senators, all new senators, all committee people. So that's a week from today, May 14th, starting at 3:05 p.m. All right, let's move to today's agenda. The first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
I'd like to amend the agenda by adding under 5A the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee minutes of May 7th, 2015. There are copies on the front table if you didn't pick them up.
Copies are available right here. All right, then, the revised agenda with the May 7th, 2015 minutes. Any debate? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And abstain? Okay, motion carries. Next item is the approval of the minutes of the Academic Senate from April 16th. Additions, deletions, comments. Any objections to adopting the minutes? All right, so moved. We'll go on to item number 3, announcements, administrative reports, and memorials.
Megan Healy, Drama, Theater, and Dance. I wanted to announce that this weekend will be the Student Choreography Showcase in Performance Space M11, featuring 8 new choreographic works by Queens College students. And you can get tickets through the Kupferberg Center box office.
This is a team tag sort of announcement. I'm going to be introducing our provost in a second, but many of you may not remember my first meeting in the Senate. When you invited me to speak, there was a Q&A session, and one of the questions that came up from one of you was sort of what's the status of the strategic plan, right? Because there was a plan that was created towards the end of 2013 that was supposed to run from 2013 to 2018, 5 years, right? With some of the transition elements, the plan has sort of been in hiatus. It's important that it gets reactivated because it is a guiding sort of, you know, planning document and programmatic document for the college. And I think also all of you know that, you know, we had the visit from Deborah Clemon from Middle States. And part of connecting what we need to do for Middle States has to be a response to the strategic plan. So we've been sort of updating the plan to be able to sort of reactivate it and get it current. And I'd like to ask our provost to give you a little bit of a rundown of where we are in the process. Not only is Betsy our academic leader, but she was guiding the process that led to that strategic plan. So I thought that she'd be the perfect person to sort of connect us with the work that I wasn't here, that it was done to get the plan ready and where we are now. So, Madam Provost.
So, as the president said, we are now basically doing a bit of a reset to the strategic plan. And let me just talk a little bit about the past process, which some of you may recall well. But if you haven't, to talk about what went into it. The 2013 to 2018 plan was developed over about 2 years, 2011 to 2013. We started with a semester of kind of open-ended meetings, which we called strategic thinking, not trying yet to get to a new plan, but to really think about the goals, of the mission of the institution, and what we wanted to accomplish. Then, the following spring, the first draft was written, and we had a number of public events, town halls, presented the PMB, online and so forth. In response to that, it was rewritten, and committees were also formed to discuss implementation. And the plan was released in December 2013, just before President Myskins stepped down. We've had, obviously, in that time, quite a bit of transition. As provost, I've had three presidents now, and I'm happy to say that we'll keep it with the same one for quite a while, I hope. But at any rate, so it went a bit into hiatus. And as a result of that transition, and we've also had transition at the chancellor's level, obviously changes in our enrollment and budget status, and so what we are doing is not reworking the whole plan, but basically taking a look at it, trying to sharpen the goals and the outcomes, and to see where it may need tweaking. Also, as the president said, and many of you may have come to the Middle States Public Forum yesterday, we are going into our decennial self-study, so that we will need to be moving fairly quickly on the strategic plan. Had it not been for the transition, we probably would have been doing this a year ago, but we want to get as wide a public input as possible into the changes. As I've said, mostly it is based on the old plan, so these are not huge changes, but merely a reset. However, the astute, if you notice the first slide as it flashed past you, it is now 2015 to 2019 strategic plan. So it is being moved forward and shortened a bit. And so this spring, and this is part of this work, we've been reassessing the plan goals in light of the changes in leadership and also trying to refine and sharpen the outcome measures. And we've brought in, the president has brought in Anna Pond, who is a consultant. She does work on strategic plans. She also serves as a Middle States consultant for CUNY, so it's a very nice combination of skills to help us with this. And we are now in the process of trying to present these changes to key campus constituencies, including you all. And then the goal would be in the fall to implement the updated plan. So the mission was not changed for the strategic plan. The mission was, in fact, approved by the Senate in 1995. And at some point, we may want to think about whether it needs to be updated, but with Middle States coming up, is not the time. But this does try and boil down the themes of the mission. And I think it's interesting that we said in 1995 that we wanted our students to be leading citizens of a global society, which I think every mission says now, but I would have to say that we were ahead of the curve on that. And also talking about, importantly, our rigorous education, the liberal arts and sciences, that's at the core of who we are. But if you also look at the mission, we are tasked to support research and advanced graduate education through both our master's programs, but also the PhD programs at the Graduate Center. We have, again, importantly, values of being diverse, inclusive, collegial, and respectful, and a very important mission to serve not just the college community, but the broader community of Queens and New York. And so that's also something that is an important part of our mission. There were five goals in the original strategic plan. This condenses and adds one. So the first one, weaving connections, actually combines the global goal the goal on campus community and the goal on the wider community as viewing as building connections across various levels. The second one is pretty much the same one that was in the original plan on student success. The third one combines goals on faculty and staff development. And then the fourth one is new, and that is operational capacity and effectiveness. And this is something, making things work has been a theme over the past few years. And so we determined that although operational capacity and effectiveness obviously determines how much you can achieve goals 1 through 3, that it should be a goal of its own. And under each of these, we've identified 3 initiatives. And so what we'll be looking for comment for, and we'll find ways that you can submit comments. We'll probably put it maybe on MyQC, but or maybe just publicly. Are these the appropriate initiatives? Do they need tweaking? Is there something missing? And what are the key metrics that we should use to determine whether we're successful in carrying out these initiatives? So number one would be nurturing campus diversity, and that would be under a variety of different definitions. Obviously, diversity of faculty, students, and staff, but also the kinds of things we do on campus to bring different cultures together and to bring the cultures of the local area and, frankly, the world onto campus. Broadening local community connections and service, and then expanding international presence interactions. Under the second one, student success, not that these are the only things we're going to be doing. And the president had a nice line that I'm going to steal now, which is just because this doesn't say that food will be served in the cafeteria in the plan does not mean that food won't be served in the cafeteria. In other words, what we are trying to identify is the ones that are really key to concentrate on right now. There are also many, many other important initiatives for student success, which we have undertaken and which will continue. But one is to facilitate transfer students transition to college. Over the past few years, we've evolved to being a transfer majority institution. We have a good freshman year initiative in place. What can we do to ensure that transfer students who come in at many different points are well served? Increase graduate student enrollment and leverage the use of technology to ensure 360-degree engagement with students. The third one, engaging faculty in teaching and research, supporting professional development for staff, and then strengthening our planning and assessment practices. And this actually may go across a number of the different goals, but for us to be successful, it is important for us to have measurable outcomes and to determine whether we are succeeding, whether it's learning outcomes in the majors or it's assessing administrative practices. In a variety of ways, it's really important that we have a way of measuring our success, and that if we're not being successful, that we take steps to fix that. And then lastly, operational capacity and effectiveness. Reengineer our business practices for better customer service. Increase our visibility and branding, because I think the feeling is often that we are a hidden jewel, a wonderful institution, but maybe not as well known as we should be. And then finally, enhance stewardship, which could be financial, but also include issues of sustainability, and grow our resources to support our mission. And so, as I said, we will be having other public meetings, but also we'll be looking for, welcome questions and comments now, but also we'll be, if you want to think it over and submit comments, we'd welcome that as well.
No questions?
Okay. And I won't sit down yet.
We have a further announcement. We just want to switch screens.
Okay, how do I go to the other? Sorry.
While we're switching screens in the way of a further announcement, next week's meeting on the 14th will be the first meeting of the new Senate, and the new Senate means that the entire executive committee and parts of the nominating committee will be up for election, re-election, whatever. So the new Senate will be voting on that.
Okay, the second item that I'd like to discuss with you today is that I wanted to present to the Senate for discussion academic excellence fees that we are proposing to CUNY. And in case you haven't heard of academic excellence fees are supplementary fees that are levied or charged to selected graduate programs. So these are apply only to graduate programs. They are already in place. We don't have any yet. This would be our first venture into this. But they are in place at a number of other CUNY institutions, Baruch and Hunter, among others. And in many cases, quite a lot more than we are proposing to charge also. So we're starting fairly modestly. And importantly, revenue from these fees goes directly to these graduate programs. So what these would do would be they would allow us to provide some extra services to those programs. So that's essentially why we're doing it. We want to be able to enhance the services we provide the students in those programs. And we feel that when you look at those programs, when you combine tuition and fees, that the cost is still very moderate compared to our competitors in the region and elsewhere. And as I say, the fees also are moderate compared to what is charged in many circumstances. So we are proposing a handful of programs at this point. We may very well want to put other programs forward in future. So right now, all of the graduate degree programs, the master's programs, but also advanced certificate programs in music, a charge for full-time students of $300 a semester would be somewhat lower for part-time students. And I can go into more detail if anybody wants to hear about what the fees would be used for, but essentially to enhance what they can do for the music students. Risk management would be $500 a semester. It would fund things like the Bloomberg terminals that students use, bringing in speakers, a variety of kinds of things that we want to enhance. Linguistics and communications disorders. In applied linguistics, TESOL and bilingual education, $25 a credit. And then in the speech language pathology program, $500 a semester. In psychology, just the advanced certificate in applied behavioral analysis, $150 a semester. And then finally, in the sociology department, although it's an interdisciplinary program, the master's in data analytics and applied social research, $50 per credit hour. And so, as I say, we're starting with just a handful. We may very well decide to move other programs ahead in future. This is fairly common at our sister CUNYs and is a way that we can provide services that we feel are important to these programs for us to be able to compete, for us to be able to offer students in these programs what they need to succeed. And I'm happy to answer questions or to give you any more details about these if you wish.
Oh, I like the view from up here. One question, since this is a money proposal, this of course would then go to the Board of Trustees vote.
That's correct, yes.
And would this be over the summer or would it be in the fall or when would the vote go?
This would be effective in the fall.
But the vote would be, let's say, in the June session?
Yes.
Is there some program in which has been proposed to help grad students who would find these extra charges to be too high and would possibly
not permit them to go to graduate school because of these extra charges?
We would certainly work with the students with the financial aid that is, which for grad students at this point primarily would be loans, but to make those available, and these would be covered.
It would be loans, but not grants.
There typically are not financial aid grants available to grad students. If there are, absolutely.
But, and if I can go, this is one of the things also when you tie up, notice that we mentioned the strategic plan, that one of the initiatives was to work on the graduate enrollment. One of the things that we've been in conversation with our Queens College Foundation is also to begin to find ways. For the most part there, the fundraising has been going towards scholarships for undergraduates. One of the things we've been talking to them is also to begin targeting fundraising opportunities for graduate students, and certainly this will be one of the reasons why we want to do that, and so that's another way to offset some of the things too.
This is more a comment than a question, and I haven't had time because we've just heard about this. I've just heard about this proposal in detail. I totally understand the needs for additional funds to support advanced programs, but my gut is struggling with this strategy as a source for funds. I perhaps see it in association with the certificate program, which is somewhat an extension of our standard offerings, but it feels very much like a tuition increase that's bypassing the tuition system, and I'm struggling emotionally with that right now.
Well, as you know, except in certain degree programs, we have the same tuition for all graduate programs, and what we've looked at, and this is why it's only a few programs, we've looked at ones that are A, highly sought after, but B, specialized, where we feel that we need to be able to provide those extra services to be competitive. And for example, in music, the competitors also typically charge actually quite a bit higher fees and typically higher tuition. So I'm not saying that in an ideal world we wouldn't find other ways to do this, but in a trade-off, to me, and this is with the approval of all those programs, they've thought about their students and they've thought about what they need, that this is a way for us to be able to provide those specialized services that those programs need. I would not argue that it is going to apply to all programs. It would be something that would have to be thought out carefully.
I suppose. I can see a circumstance in which every department would find these funds incredibly valuable and could come up with the justification for them within their program. I know certainly within our department we have severe limitations in what we can offer, and so it would be very appealing to propose this formally. It feels like something we should seriously consider as a philosophical question in terms of how we want to move forward with it. So, thank you.
Hi, I also kind of want to make a comment. Just because, I mean, I'm considering grad school also, but I mean, I'm a sophomore, but something that I wanted to just nitpick with, you mentioned competitors and how they offer these kinds of services, but I thought like the point of Queens College was that like you guys offer affordability. So I feel like she raised a really good point. We should really not try and like veer off from that. I understand why many like programs would want more funding. I could see like where there are severe limitations, even when it comes to like media studies, which is like what I'm veering towards. But I really feel like this should just be considered a little more carefully, because I'm sure funding must be really hard to get, especially for grad schools, if there's like not even financial aid offered for grad students.
And I take the point. I think it's a valid point. I would, however, argue when you look at our tuition, even at the graduate level in state, even with these added on, I think we remain quite competitive. So. As I say, in an ideal world, we wouldn't need to do this, but if the programs think they need to do this in order for their students to be successful in the job market, for example, that it's important that we do.
Just two thoughts. One is, and going back to sort of the larger question of the philosophy, one of the things that getting the approval to charge the fees does, right, is that then it becomes our decision as we move forward whether we want to continue having them or not. For example, we find an example in which they get imposed, and after a number of years, we think that the enrollment is affected, and we believe that part of that effect has been the fact that the fees were imposed. You can freeze the fees, right? The college has that capacity to do that. Difference from tuition, this money is going specifically towards the program. So it's you know, I get the point, but this is a bit more targeted. And the other point is, in some of the programs here, and this is why they were selected, and this was part of a process that occurred last year. We actually submitted a number to the central office, and that got frozen. That came from the departments. In some cases, in risk management, for example, the Bloomberg terminals are incredibly expensive. So if we don't have the funding to update them and have them, either the program is really worthless for the students because they're not getting the skills they need, you know, that they're paid, or then you might have to shut the program. So there's a tension here, and then there'd be no affordable risk management program anywhere. So it is obviously a tension. We're doing this very, very, very carefully, and we selected programs, and we wish it was in a scenario where, you know, the regular revenue sources will take care of that, but this is not something that we are thinking should be uniformly applied to all graduate programs and across the board. We feel is targeted, and we'll be closely monitoring how it might have an effect or not on the enrollment, which I just want to put that there for consideration too.
So I have two questions. One, is there information, you know, available somewhere online to the general student body as to how the breakdown or how the number as to what the cost of these fees would be, how they were calculated, or where specifically they're going to go, you know, as a broken down, I don't want to call them line items, but, you know.
I can give you, in terms of how they were calculated, it wasn't so much a formula as it was the departments looking at their needs and what they thought the capabilities of their students to handle these would be. Mm-hmm. I can talk to you, and I'm happy to share a more detailed proposal about how the fees might be used. Mm-hmm. There's not a detailed budget yet, but once the fees come in, they would be specifically directed back to the program and specifically for enhancements to the program, not just the general running of it, but things that they wouldn't be able to do without this.
Great.
So I'm happy to share that. I didn't want to give you 12 pages.
No, okay.
So
thank you. And a second part, agree that this is a new idea that the college is proposing specifically towards graduate students. Is there some kind of a, you know, long-term plan that the college is thinking about?
As far as I know, I think SUNY does quite a lot of this for undergraduate also. At CUNY, as far as I know, this is only possible for graduate programs.
Gotcha.
So if there's a long-term plan, I don't know about it.
Okay. Thank you.
President, in relation to your remark about the foundation hopefully in the future would provide some scholarship support. I was just wondering about that. I know in my department, my name is Renee Weiss, by the way, I'm with the accounting department. And for the most part, any awards that are offered by our department are not need-based, they're academic criteria. And sometimes, truthfully, I have a problem in I'm asked to recommend students and don't go and get the list of GPAs to run down, but based on the students whom I believe are most academically qualified from their performance in my two intermediate undergrad accounting classes, and I ask them privately do you qualify, like you to get on board? This came up in relation to the Business Forum scholarships, and I'm continuously disappointed to find that they're very good students, strong students, but they don't have the overall GPA or sub-major GPA threshold. They don't meet it. So I'm wondering if there could be some type of need-based awards, because that could be the case with trying to bring in graduate students who could do well in the program and maybe could have a barrier with any additional costs. Just food for thought.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that we should have a balance. I mean, first, there in fundraising, there the restrictions you might have when a donor says, you know, I want the gift to go to an accounting student that has a 3.75, and you know, you could argue, or you could have a conversation with them about broader criteria. But at the end of the day, right, in some cases, some of those things have that. I am of the school that we need to have a variety of things out there, some that value the students that do have the high academic credentials and allow us to do that, and others that are based on other criteria that the departments might find appropriate for candidates, which I guess will go back to your point in terms that there might be other reasons why, you know, and that not just for graduate, for undergraduate too, that you might want to do that. So it is something that, and clearly in conversation with the foundation, I stress that we need to have a bit of a variety on that. Some of those things sometimes are led by what either the donor or what departments decide to do with gifts that are unrestricted. I mean, some of those things also are guidelines in the departments, which is obviously a department issue to deal with. But I'm in agreement with you.
And it is true that there's not a lot of grants to graduate students, and so that would be helpful, I think. Thank you for your comments.
Okay, let's go back to the agenda. No special motions. Item number 5, committee reports, undergraduate curriculum committee.
I'd like to move the minutes of the April 16th undergraduate curriculum committee. Those appeared on the green sheets in your packet. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing none, passed by unanimous consent.
I'd like to move the minutes of the May 7th undergraduate curriculum committee meeting that were distributed on the table down in front. I'd be glad to answer any questions since these were just distributed. The reason that we're doing today's UCC minutes is these are the last minutes that can get into the fall 2015 bulletin by going through the Chancellor's University report. It's a fairly light reading, so it's only, you know, 1.5 pages. Is there any questions? Otherwise, I'd ask for unanimous consent.
Question?
I could almost ask Ken off the line. Did you ever do Spanish 45? That was that course that was approved?
No.
Okay.
Can you ask for unanimous consent?
Yes, I did.
Any objections? Okay, seeing none, then it passes.
Thank you.
Next item, Graduate Curriculum Committee.
Steve Schwartz, Associate Provost. On behalf of Dean Richard Bodner, I move passage of the minutes of the Graduate Curriculum Committee, April 1st. They're the gold pages, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. Any old business? Oh, I'm sorry, I did. The nominating committee report, there is none, it was withdrawn. And any old business? All right, seeing none, let's go to new business. Item 7A, the University Faculty Senate election. There are three openings on this committee, and we have one nominee, Michael Nelson from the Art Department. I'm going to ask for faculty, because only faculty vote on this issue, for unanimous consent. Seeing no objections, Michael Nelson is voted into the University Faculty Senate.
Motion to adjourn, Sindai.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for a very productive year.
What was the last one? You have to say Sindai.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The agenda is set by the bylaws.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.